Next case for argument is United States v. Villa Senor. Mr. Kennedy.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, Counsel. Arturo Villa Senor was sentenced on both the underlying offense and the violation of supervision. This case is really about Fifth Amendment double jeopardy through punishing the same conduct twice. And I'll say right off the bat, I'm fully aware that a violation of supervision can be punished separately with a consecutive sentence. But what happened in this case is that Arturo Villa Senor entered into a plea agreement that the prosecution had written that specified that his conduct was relevant conduct in both cases.
But what I don't understand about your argument is the fact that when supervised release is terminated and somebody is given more time in prison as a result of that termination, conceptually as I see it, that's further punishment for the old offense, for the thing that you'd been given a chance on for supervised release, but you've proven yourself unworthy of that chance, and so now you're going to spend some time in prison. So even if the reason for revoking supervised release is precisely the same as the reason for a new conviction, and it often will be because terms of supervised release say, among other things, don't commit any more crimes, I don't see how there could possibly be a double jeopardy type problem since they really are punishing entirely different underlying conduct.
But what happens is because that conduct was considered relevant conduct, it actually increased the sentence more than it otherwise would have been increased.
No, but not at all, because it's causing him to serve a longer sentence for an old conviction that's not relevant conduct to the new conviction. Now, yes, there is extra time. The 14 months is added on to the old conviction's sentence, and the 16 months is the illegal reentry. So in some literalistic sense, yes, the same conduct is giving rise to both 14 months in prison and 16 months in prison here consecutively. But really, even before we get to the way all these guidelines work and everything else, I just don't see anything in the Double Jeopardy Clause that prohibits Congress or anyone else from, you know, a court from saying, you, it turns out, need to serve a longer time for your old conviction, so you're going to, and we're going to take that same conduct and find you guilty of a new offense.
Yes, but the thing is that it was referred to as relevant conduct. And I'm not saying that it's impossible to give him consecutive sentences to some extent. But
I don't
to
see
give
what
him
line you're trying to draw then. I mean, yes, the term relevant conduct was used, but that doesn't seem to me to get you very far in terms of a constitutional argument.
Well, because of the 1B.1.3 relevant conduct definition, that causes 5G1.3 of the guidelines to say that it's supposed to be concurrent. Now, that
actually the guidelines have other provisions too, but
yes.
why are the guidelines a reflection of the command of the Double Jeopardy Clause?
Pardon?
I don't see why the guidelines, even if, as I actually do not think, one read the guidelines the way you're reading them, I don't see where that comes from the Double Jeopardy Clause. The Double Jeopardy Clause would permit an appropriate sentence for both different convictions. They were different conduct, different days, different entries, different everything.
Yes, that's going, but what I am also asking the court to consider is that the conduct, the same conduct, was used
to revoke the supervised release and then for the new
sentencing.
Right.
And for the old one.
Yeah.
And that at some point there is some enhancement that results from that exceeds what would otherwise be there if it weren't defined as relevant conduct.
Why is it different from any longer sentence because of recidivism? Doesn't that in effect punish the earlier crime more heavily than it was initially punished?
Sure. As a general rule, there is an increased penalty for recidivism.
And you could say, well, that increased penalty, you're really punishing the previous crimes more seriously because you're giving them a new consequence.
But I have to agree with that. But again, it's going back to that relevant conduct point, which is that while there is an abuse of a trust when there's a violation of supervised release, that doesn't necessarily mean it should come back to work as an enhancement in the sentence imposed for the 2006 offense. So in other words, it's getting so many points piled on and increasing the months served that my argument is that's a double enhancement. I'm not saying that it's impossible to give consecutive sentences. I'm saying that it was overdone in this case.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Kennedy. Ms. Murphy?
Good morning. May it please the court and opposing counsel, I'm Madeline Murphy, and I'm asking that this court affirm the district court's decision to run these two sentences consecutively. The Seventh Circuit, along with at least three other circuits, has rejected Mr. Villasenor's argument that the imposition of an additional or subsequent sentence for a violation of supervised release is a double jeopardy violation. The defendant focuses on the term relevant conduct as placed in the plea agreement here, and his reliance on that term is misplaced for a number of reasons. He indicates that Guideline Section 5G1.3b provides for concurrent sentences where relevant conduct in the second sentence has been taken into account in the first sentence, and that is misplaced here for a number of reasons. Number one, 7B1.3 deals specifically with this circumstance of having an underlying substantive offense sentence and a supervised release sentence, and specifically states that these sentences can be run consecutively. That language is echoed in 5G1.3. Number two, if you look at 5G1.3b concerning relevant conduct, it states that the relevant conduct has to be the basis of an increase in the offense level for the instant offense. And we do not have that in this case. Mr. Villasenor's offense level for the primary offense of reentry after deportation was not increased because of any relevant conduct. And number three, Judge, in hindsight, if I were to draft this plea agreement again today, I would not include the terms relevant conduct because the supervised release violation really wasn't relevant conduct to the underlying count of conviction. It didn't change the guidelines in any way, and it was frankly irrelevant. Now, this court has considered circumstances of imposing a consecutive or a concurrent sentence in a situation like this where we have an underlying supervised release violation and an additional substantive violation, and has found that it is not plainly unreasonable to impose a consecutive sentence for the supervised release violation. Mr. Villasenor's argument here is strictly legal, strictly based on this double jeopardy argument and this relevant conduct issue. It does not make an argument that the district court was factually unreasonable in imposing consecutive sentences. Unless the panel has any further questions for me, I will conclude and ask that the court affirm the decision of the district court to impose consecutive sentences. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Murphy. Mr. Kennedy, how much time does he have? 4 minutes? Do you have anything further, Mr. Kennedy?
One thing, Your Honor, which is that, yes, it is a strictly legal argument. It's looking at this plea agreement as though it's a contract, which I think is fair to do. It's a contract between the government and the defendant. All the words should be given import. The words relevant conduct were expressly used. And when those words were expressly used, it brought this case within the purview of United States versus Johnson and United States versus Contreras-Martinez, which causes the Fifth Amendment provision to become effective. And that's really why I had so much difficulty answering the court's questions on the first round, in that I'm taking a very strict, literal view of this plea agreement. And the court is taking the general concept of, well, this is what they meant. But I believe that the government should be held to its plea agreement. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.